Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for this evening. And this evening I thought I would do readings and just call and ask for questions or readings, or if you have something else that you want to talk about, I'd be more than happy to do that. I am able to give information, and I'd be glad to do that. Every once in a while I like doing this, because it helps hone my skills, and it helps me also in interacting more with my listeners. Meanwhile, I can talk just about on any subject I would like to this evening, and there's a lot of things that are happening. As far as the world is concerned, there's a lot of energy that's moving into the world now, and a lot of clearing out of the old and the new. And for those listeners who are in California, please understand my heartfelt prayers and those of everyone else are with you, and we are thinking of you. Washington, D.C., which is where I am, just got its first rain in over a month, and I was thinking I wish I could have sent it to y'all so that it could put out the fire so you wouldn't have to suffer. But at any rate, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone, and we know that everyone else would agree with that. So some of the things that I could discuss this evening is, in working with the healthcare field and working with new ideas and thoughts, I came across, through a gift of a book, something that's not new, but a carbohydrate diet. And I thought this was the greatest thing because it answered a lot of questions, and it's a great book, and it's a great diet. And for the first time, it explained to me why you want to reduce carbohydrates, certain carbohydrates, not all of them, but some of them. And that is because carbohydrates stimulate your pancreas to send insulin to the body. And the insulin is in response to eating sugars and sweets. And this gives energy to your body. But what happens is, if you eat too many carbohydrates and your body becomes out of balance and is not well balanced with protein as well as the vegetables, what happens is there's too much sugar in the blood. And then over a period of time, the cells of your body are resistant to accepting the sugar, the blood sugar, and you also start getting less and less of glucosamine, which is what helps the cells to absorb the blood sugar. So I have started this new diet, and I am absolutely thrilled. I've been on it a week. My body's still adjusting, and I'm also taking chromium. That's GFT chromium, which is biologically activated and is also recommended. Many people do take it. And this helps your body to absorb the glucosamine, because as you grow older, your body needs more of this. And as you grow older, your body produces less of it. It's sort of a kind of downward spiral. What you need more of, you're getting least of when you do need it. So I will let you know how this works, because so far it is absolutely fabulous. I notice a difference right away in my body. My vision is cleared up. I did not realize that part of too much sugar in the bloodstream can cause somebody's blurry vision, which was a news to me, and a few other things of that nature. So, you know, as it goes along, I'm more than happy to share what I find out about this diet. And it's not extreme, and it's easy to sustain. And I'm willing to share with others about this. If anybody else has anything else that they'd like to share along diets today, that's fantastic too, because this is a season when we all want to start getting to look good and to start looking beautiful. At any rate, again, feel free to call BBS Radio 1-877-876-5227. Another line is 877-270-8714, and I will be glad to give you a reading this evening if you wish to have one. There are a number of other things that are happening on the world stage, as you know. Some of the energies that we've been having that have poured into our world recently are very, very good ones. But sometimes you tend to get so much energy that you really don't know what to do with it. And that's something that I've always found interesting. Channeling your energy, once you start getting it, is really something that you should look into. To have a lot of energy, it's sort of, and not know what to do with it, is kind of frustrating and self-defeating. So when you are feeling up and having energy, my suggestion is you start looking into doing things, reading a book, extending yourself so that you can channel this energy. And as you keep it open and utilize this energy more in your life, you're going to be lifting yourself up and expanding it so you have the use of the energy more and more instead of letting it dry up. It's sort of like having an inspiration to do something and then not doing it. And if you don't work on the inspirations that you get, eventually there's going to start drying up. It's like Edgar Casey said, you know, you've got to use what you have in order to get more. It's like someone having a psychic gift. If you don't use it, you know, after a while it slows down because there's no reason to have it. And everything should have a reason and a season. There are also some other wonderful things coming around. I will be going out of country for a week to visit a South American country, Venezuela, in December for just a week. And that time I will pre-record my show so there won't be an interruption. And I am looking forward to going to South America. I've never been. And some of the things that have been directed to me, the world, it comes back in strange places. And it's interesting because when I was in high school and college, I had friends from South America, and I'd always wanted to travel and go there. And now here it is, all these years later, and the opportunity to travel and maybe to do business, to work with students down there, is being presented to me. And I think this is an absolutely fantastic thing. That it should come about after almost 40 years really kind of blows my mind, because when I was in college, I was offered a job to teach English as a second language down in Venezuela. And I turned it down. I was scared to leave the country. I was young. I didn't want to go. But the opportunity has come around again to go and then take a new teaching program that I've developed. And this, too, is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful opportunity to try and mend relations and get to know people from other countries and see what we can do to just share. There are many, many areas of the world that I would love to get to, and maybe finally the time has come that I will be able to go and visit these other places. Maury McGill last week came on the show, and she was absolutely wonderful. She's a lovely tarot reader, and we've been communicating since. And she will be on again in December, so we can look forward to that. And I wanted to let you know that Stephanie Stevens, that wonderful psychic who lives in Arizona, will be on next week, I think. It is the first Thursday in November, which would be the first. She's going to be on the 1st of November, so she's going to be wonderfully there. And we have some other people in November coming up. Carol May is coming up, Carl Helvey, and then Thanksgiving, and then Raymond Grace, that wonderful dowser that has been on my show before. He is also coming on the last then. And then we're going to have, again, we have Maureen McGill again on the 6th. We have Ann Andrews, UFO, and Judith Ryan, another astrologer. So we have a lot of wonderful people coming up. And again, I suggest if anybody wants a reading, to give me a call, and I will be glad to do so, answer any questions you might have. Some of the things that I have noticed recently is there seem to be a lot of inattentive drivers lately. And I have a, I don't know whether it's the full moon coming up or what, but there have been some really basic issues with people in roads lately. And they seem to come in cycles. And I guess my astrologers would tell me that it is that phase of the moon. Mercury, I understand, is retrograde. And I don't know about y'all, but they say it only goes retrograde twice a year. I don't know. Every time I turn around, somebody says Mercury is in retrograde, and I'm thinking, when is it not in retrograde? There always seems to be this issue with communication and speaking. And I think many people, I guess, just don't know how to talk, just don't know how to share with themselves and how to respectfully discuss issues that they have between them. There are people that I know that do try, but sometimes in the trying, they don't take a good hard look at themselves or listen to themselves. And so what happens is there's more and more confusion. And part of growing in the world of the spirit is learning how to communicate. And I think one of the things that we tend to forget is we don't communicate with ourselves really well. When we go into denial, we are failing to truly communicate with who we really are. And this creates a situation with, if we don't know who we really are, how can we possibly know anybody else or communicate well with someone else? So some of the journey that I have been on is learning how to communicate with myself, how to be open and honest with myself, because it is very important. If you cannot be honest with yourself, if you close your eyes to what's going on in your life, if you keep repeating patterns in your life that you don't like, then that means you're not being honest with yourself. You're not communicating at a right level. And again, when we don't communicate with ourselves or work well with ourselves, our bodies will rebel and show a dis-ease and an illness. It could be headaches, it could be cramping, it could be backache, it could be coming and going pains, etc., etc., etc. But it's important for us to look at what we have in our life, and if it's something that we don't want, remember, we all have the power to change what we are doing in our life. And we all have the power to say, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of having this in my life. And then, once you do that, choose change. Consciously, choose change. I understand that this is kind of difficult, and it's not like creating your own reality, though in a sense we do. But there is another thought that came to me and another idea that came with reading along this line, and it was very clear, it made clear to me one of these aha moments, that we say we want something to change and we pursue it. For example, I have a friend who is very interested in finding a companion, someone special she can share her life with. And she was going to the fact, changing her hair, doing this, doing that, changing the way she lived, maybe moving to another area so she could meet more people. She was all about doing things to change herself because she was looking and seeking for a companion. And what I read was this: if you spend your life seeking, persistently pushing and striving in such a way, you forget, you don't allow yourself or the universe the option to send what you want, because you will always end up being in a seeking mode. If the seeking does become your goal, you can't accept it. Sometimes when you want something, you send out to the universe, you do what you can, and then you just stand back and say, all right, this is what I have asked for. Now I allow it to come into my life. And yet, part of the situation that I have found not only with myself, but I've heard from others, is that we do not allow ourselves to receive into our life what we have asked for. Our seeking becomes the goal in itself. And it is that which causes us so much hurt and frustration, because I want this, I wanted it, I did, you know, I did everything I could, I sought it, but you never accept, sat back and said, I deserve it, and now I can allow what I wish to make its appearance in my life. You are so, being so busy, you forgot what it's like just to be able to stand aside and hold out your hand and say, please put it in my hands here and now. And so this is another lesson that I have been learning over a period of time as well. Because sometimes in seeking so very much and saying, look, you know, I'm not the youngest chick in the pond, and I want to get things done, and I really push and push and push. And then not too long ago I decided, well, the heck with this. If it's going to happen, Spirit, you're going to have to do something about it. Bring it to me. Put it in my hot little fist, because, quite frankly, I'm tired of working hard at it. I'm tired of pushing and knocking on doors and seeking things. And the stunning thing is, the universe, or Spirit, or God, has indeed come to my front door, so to speak, and given me the opportunity to do some of the things that I have been seeking to do. And this is one of the most wonderful parts of growing in the world of spirit, and that is, you can bet when you are ready to receive, when you are ready to accept the gifts that are prepared for you, believe me, you will receive them. You don't have to cry. You don't have to clamor. You don't have to yell, because, again, we can become so fond of demanding. We can become so fond of looking hither, thither, and yon that we forget that it's okay to stop every once in a while and just let God answer it. It's sort of like meditation. Edgar Cayce once described meditation as the answer to our prayers, or permitting God to answer our prayers, while prayer is petitioning God. Meditation is being silent long enough to hear God respond to our requests. And I have always felt that that was a very beautiful saying, and one that makes perfectly wonderful sense to me. Some of the other things that have been going on are the changes that are coming up. I've been hearing from some that the profound changes that they say are coming are not going to be that profound. We'll just have more of the same, like fires and earthquakes and tsunamis and what have you. But that the year 2012 may or may not be, you know, a big cataclysmic event that everybody is working themselves up to have. And the thing is, what is going to happen is going to happen. The best thing that we can do, each of us standing on our own two stocking feet, is to simply conduct our lives and how we interact with ourselves and each other in the way that we would want to be remembered and to be looked at. Preparing yourself by being the best human being you can be is the only way to go, as far as I can see. Mostly, we are all good people. Mostly, we are all God, recognizing God in each other. Yes, good evening, and welcome to the higher dimensions. May I help you?
Yes, my mother has passed on. I'd like to know how she's doing on the other side, and if she's trying to reach me with any messages.
Okay, and your name?
My name is Elaine.
Yes, Elaine. Yes, your mother has passed on, and she's doing fine. And, She knows that you are grieving for her, and grief is something that sometimes, if we grieve too hard, prevents us from hearing and receiving the message that these people who loved us are trying to send. May I tell you a story? Your mother
yes,
is doing
yes,
well. Okay.
Yes, sure.
But let me share a story with you. About 8 years ago, my daughter's best friend was basically kidnapped and brutally murdered. And this was the day before my daughter's high school graduation. And we set out. Well, I knew something terrible was going to happen and that she might likely die. I told her mother that on New Year's Eve that year. But we set out looking for the daughter. And we combed the woods. And we went to every place we could. And the next day when she hadn't shown up, my daughter didn't want to go to her graduation, but I insisted that she go to her high school graduation, even though this issue was happening. Now, the mother came to my house early in the morning of my daughter's graduation, and she walked in the front door and said, my little girl's gone. I've lost my little girl. And she continued to fight, hoping against hope, and seeking her daughter. Unfortunately, her daughter, by that time, was dead. And she knew, intuitively, that her daughter was dead. But she turned around and ignored the fact that she was dead and kept seeking her. 2 days later, the man who was responsible came and was captured by the police, but turned in. And then it turned into seeking her body. Well, her mother, and that was June 15th, her mother sought for almost a month, wouldn't give up trying to find her daughter's body. And finally, I got word from her daughter that said, please tell my mother not to seek me, because the condition of the body is such that if she would to see me, it would horrify her for the rest of her life. So please ask her to stop searching. So I went to her mother and said, look, this is the message I got. Your daughter doesn't want to be found by you. She wants somebody else to find her. So please stop seeking. When you stop seeking, she will be found. Her mother stopped that day. Within 72 hours, her daughter's body was found. So very badly decomposed. So horribly decomposed that they had to send the remains to the FBI forensic laboratory to be identified. This is a form of listening to spirit and growing within you. It's time to stop seeking. Your mother is in heaven. Your mother is alive, as that means alive. Your mother does love you and will always love you. Your mother wants you to move on with love in her heart, with caring, with sharing. She says you will always be a part of her. She's always going to be your mom, honey.
I miss her so much.
I know, honey. I know you do, sweetheart. I know. But you understand, she's still with you, just not physically. She is with you in spirit, darling.
Could I have to?
And you're seeking her. You're seeking so hard, you're preventing her from reaching you. Does that make sense to you, honey? That as long as you push so very hard, you're actually, in a sense, blocking her attempts to reach you and comfort you through your dreams, through seeing her and feeling her presence around you, because she is around you, darling. She is around you.
And she can hear me when I talk to her?
Of course she can.
Could I have prevented her death? Did I do enough? I mean, could
you
I
You did
have...
nothing wrong. There is nothing... You are absolved from all guilt, because guilt is part of what's interfering with you being able to talk to her, honey. When this friend's daughter was killed, when she found out the person who took her daughter's life had been a guest in her home, introduced by their son as a friend, had stayed in their home, had slept there, dined there, you know, had shared laughter, etc. He was the one who had killed her daughter. She felt so guilty, so trapped, so anguished by this. The thing is, her daughter's message was, let him go. Let the anger go. Let the guilt go. Let the blame go. Just love each other. And to know that it was in time and space, her time to leave. There was a karmic pattern between the man who killed her and the daughter. It was a playing out of something they had agreed to before they were even born. Your mother had chosen this time and the place and the method in which she would leave this life. It was not an accident. It was not something you did. It was a choice, just as when your time to leave will also be your choice, your manner in which you choose to go. And hanging on will not help you. You will know when the time comes to release and let go, just as your mother did. Had it not been for cancer, it would have been for something else, darling.
It wasn't cancer.
It was not. What was it?
Stroke.
Pardon?
It was stroke.
Drugs?
A stroke.
Yes, that's very bad. But how long did she linger? And there was not much you could do about that either, darling.
Well, they wanted to make a hole in her stomach and feed her, but I don't think she would have wanted that.
If she would not have wanted it. You're right.
She would not have wanted that.
No, she would not have. And you are not responsible for her dying. Understand that, honey. You must let it go. Really and truly, you must.
If I gave her Plavix, would that have prevented her from having the stroke and going?
No. I said if she hadn't gone that way, she would have gone another way. We each of us choose how we and when we go. It's not an accident, and it was not a deliberate act. You loved your mother. You cared for your mother, and she knew that. But it was also her time. Her body was worn out. She needed the rest. She had accomplished. You see, we don't leave our earth plane before accomplishing what we're supposed to accomplish. Okay? We always, always have an opportunity to complete what we want to. Sometimes once we are here, we may choose to say, I don't think I can do it this time. It's too tough. It's too rough. I'd rather not do it. And so the opportunity to do whatever it is simply put off to another time and place. But your mother accomplished a great deal.
She did.
She did.
I could never accomplish as much as her.
Well, darling, yes, you can, and more in your own way, because you have her example. You have the example of your mother to follow. And I understand that very well. My mother was a very, very wonderful human being as well. And she was loved and respected by everybody who met her. And she left big shoes for me to fill. And I'm doing the best I can with filling her shoes. But yes, you can. You're her daughter. She taught you. That's why you came to her as a baby. So that she could help you become the best human being you could be by being your mother. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And her mother was talking to her. Her mother came to her. She told my sister that her mother was talking with her. Her mother had predeceased her. And she said that she came and she was talking to her.
Uh-huh. Well, this will come too, honey, but your grief can stand in the way of the communication from the other side.
And there's also a book I read, and when I read people like Michael Land and his daughter, she's able to communicate with her. She said her father guides her from beyond the grave, and she hears him talk to her.
Yes, sometimes that happens, but understand that doesn't happen to everybody.
I know.
It can, but not everybody gets it, needs to have this, or it's not part of the plan that they discuss between them. My feeling is when you release this grief you have, And the guilt, and understand, my dear, there's nothing you did or didn't do that made a difference for your mama. She went in the time she was supposed to go. Would she have wanted to live crippled or
no.
semi-conscious for how many years? I don't think so. Do you?
No, I don't. But I keep thinking that if I gave her Plavix...
Pardon?
I keep thinking if I gave her Plavix, maybe I could have prevented her from having the stroke and passing.
But the reason why you didn't give her the Plavix, dear, is because it wasn't supposed to be.
I was giving her Plavix. I didn't think of giving her Plavix.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, it you didn't think of it because it wasn't supposed to be. She wasn't supposed to stay any longer. Do you understand? Okay.
It wouldn't
have mattered in the long run, darling. It really not would have not mattered at all. When it is our time to pass over, then we do pass.
Yes, I remember Sylvia Brown saying that you could fall 80 feet in an elevator, and if it's not your time to go, you won't go.
That's right.
You walk away.
That's absolutely right, dear. You know, that's why some people walk away from an accident without a scratch on them, and other people are pancakes. And I don't mean to make light of it, but that's the way it is.
Right.
You have a set lifespan, and your responsibility now, and your greatest gift to your mother now, is to do as much with your life in loving memory of her as you can. To create, to go on, to do many things. And in your achievement, she is honored. Do you understand that, dear?
Yes, I understand.
Okay. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. She loves you. And sooner or later, I promise you, you will see her. And the more quickly you accept the fact that if you allow this to happen, if you allow it to happen, when it is right, it will happen, and you will see your mother, and you will have conversations with her. Okay?
Okay.
It will happen.
Because I believe in after-death communications. I say, why doesn't she appear to me? And people that don't believe it, they have these paranormal experiences.
Well, you know why? Because they're not pushing for it. They're allowing it to happen. Does that make sense? Am I getting through to you? They are allowing it. By not seeking it, it's going to happen because they aren't pushing for it.
So, in other words, tell her to come to me. You know, I would love to have her appear to me. It would make me so happy to see her.
Well, yeah, honey, just allow me. They say, Mom, whenever you're ready to be front and center, I'm here. You know where I am. Just let you, and she knows that. She is letting you... She's allowing you the opportunity, darling, to release her.
It's hard to do, though.
It is very hard to do, but it can be done. Have you gone for counseling, grief counseling, dear? Have you thought?
I haven't. I don't think it would help.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. Because sometimes we can be so wound up in grief, just like that mother was. So wound up in grief, she couldn't see the forest for the trees. Okay? She was so intent on finding her child, she didn't realize that as long as she saw her child, she wouldn't be able to find her child. Because the reality of what had happened with time and insects and bugs and heat and everything else was so horrific that it would have probably driven her over the edge of mental capability. It was that bad. Okay?
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, accept that your mother is always around you, and she will. And by the way, you may not remember it, but what I'm hearing now is that she has come to you in dreams. She's attempted to reach you in dreams. Okay?
Okay.
And she is around you even now. Any time, for example, if you're driving along and all of a sudden your mom comes into your mind, why do you think that is? It's because she's beside you. She's there. Okay? She's there. And if you suddenly feel her presence or get a whiff of her scent, that means she's beside you. And be aware of it and just say, Mom, thank you. I know you're there. Your mother is fine, dear. Her only concern is that you go on with your life. Okay? That's what I can tell you. And it's what your mom would tell you.
Okay. And she realizes what's going on in my life. She could see me and everything.
Absolutely, honey. There are no secrets. Listen, what we think is hidden and secret is clear as crystal. There are no hidden aspects. Once you leave this world, once the subconscious mind, the higher self, leaves this mortal place, the blindness of this world, shall we say, or the obscurity of this world.
Or the darkness of this world.
Well, it can be dark, but it's up to you to make it light by your own attitudes and your own thoughts. You can either lighten the darkness or help it stay dark or get darker by your own attitudes and by your own thoughts. We, each of us, have that power within us to bring light into this world. Or not. It's our choice. But if you choose to bring light, that's what you're supposed to do. Your mother will appear to you when you least expect it, darling.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, I know so. She will come when you least expect it, when you have set aside your desire. Remember what I said. When you set aside your strong seeking and your begging and your pleading and your emotional, you are in no state to receive your mother at this point, emotionally. Okay?
Okay.
It's your very pain, it's your very emotional distraughtness that is preventing you from actually connecting with her. So the healing of yourself is important, and yes, I would ask you to see if you cannot have some grief counseling, because I think that would be an excellent opportunity for you to share with others and to learn with them how to go through this very, very, very painful time and this very sad time. And I understand with all my heart, because my mother was, as I have told you all before, my mother was my dearest friend. And she was my cheering section, and she was my business partner, and, you know, she was a woman I admired and loved and honored, and I have missed her life so much. But allowing her to go in the way she did prevented her from having to be hooked up to the machine and to be kept alive artificially, which would not have been the way she wanted to go. Honoring her was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Believe me.
But even though they're on the other side, I believe that we can still contact them.
Absolutely, every day, honey. Every day. All you have to do is just send her love and just go on with your life as she wants you to do. And at the least expected moment, she'll suddenly be in your consciousness and awareness, and she will be there for you. It does happen.
Because I know Sylvia Brown said she's a psychic medium. She said she had waited 11 months for her father to contact her.
Yeah, it was over a year with my mother coming back and showing herself to me. Okay?
Did she come, like, when you were awake or in your dream?
I was in a meditation state, and I saw her come to me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
See? And then I've had dreams about her, and then there are other times when all of a sudden I'm aware of her standing beside me. I mean, it's just, I just know it. I just feel her there. I just know as surely as you're standing there. And I just say, hey, Mom. And, you know, I lost the dog that was her pet in September 5th. I had to put him down. He had cancer of the mouth. I know my mother was there when he died. I know it.
And dogs also go to the other side.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Pets go to the other side, too. All animals go to the other side. But I knew my mother was there. And so were my other pets who had died before. They were all there to greet Toby when he passed. So do I know it? Yes. I can sense them. I can see them sometimes. Sometimes it's a feeling. Sometimes it's a hearing. Sometimes it's a knowing. It's not always the way you think. But you will know when it happens, my dear. And to allow yourself the opportunity to greet your mother is to allow her to come when she feels you're ready for her. Okay?
Okay.
Alrighty? Is that better now?
Yes, thank you so much.
And please, honey, would you consider seeking counseling? I think that would help you so much. We all need assistance now and then. And I think that's important to reach out to others and to share. Because the grief shared helps you to heal better. And not only that, as you're healing, do you realize you're helping somebody else to heal as well?
Well, I tell a lot of people who have, you know, lost loved ones to read the book Hello from Heaven by Judy Guggenheim.
Right.
It's all about after-death communication, and it brings a lot of comfort. I keep reading that book.
Wonderful.
And I say, why? But I wish I could have the experiences that these people have.
Well, you are going to. You are going to. Just allow it to come. Again, you can want something so much that you can prevent it from actually coming to you. Because your pain and your grief really actually puts up a barrier. It doesn't take it down. It sets it up. Okay?
Okay, I'll try. Thank you so much.
You're
I enjoyed
welcome.
Speaking
God
with
God bless you, my dear.
It means so much to me.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anytime. Have a lovely evening, darling.
Okay. God bless
care.
You. Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
Well, anyone else who'd like to call, I would love to talk to and to see what we can talk about. The story of the young lady who was brutally murdered, the man was caught, and the mother then went into such denial that she refused to believe that he actually, even though he admitted it and then denied it, he actually... She didn't want to believe that the man who had was caught for it and well, is in jail for the rest of his life now for killing her daughter. Her denial was such that she couldn't accept the fact that this person who had been in her home had actually done such an atrocity. And so she began agitating to find somebody else, a nameless somebody or others, instead. And I haven't spoken to her for a number of years, but I would hope that her grief has settled now. But this form of denial can be so great that you cannot truly recognize the truth when it is there. And when we become so emotionally distraught, so emotionally bogged down, we can't see anything and we hold away from us the information and the things that we would really want to be brought to us. So I would suggest that you all consider that as a thought for future reference. It's wonderful to desire something and to be passionate about it. It's another thing to have it become so all-consuming that you lose sense of balance and purpose in life. Even when we are doing something we love, it's important to remember that balance is an important key to being here, because we can destroy ourselves and our achievements that we are supposed to set forth here by not accepting certain things like some physical limitations or emotional limitations. We become workaholics, we become one-dimensional, we can work ourselves to death. Balance is the key to living a wonderful life in food and emotions, in jobs, in relationships. We all know that we can overbalance if we're not careful. And part of what we do in life is so important that we have to understand it's important for us to take care of our bodies, because this is our gift. Our body is our gift. And it is appropriate to honor it and take care of it and love it and respect it. And we tend to forget that. In the pursuit of things, in the passion of doing something, excuse me, it's something that we need to remember. And I have a tendency sometimes to forget. So that's something that I would like to draw to your attention as well, is to honor yourself and all that you do. by loving yourself. And part of that is feeding your body with good food, feeding it with rest, with exercise. And the more you show respect to your body, the more it's going to respect your desires and wishes and carry you through to what you want to accomplish. There are so many people who forget this and become one-dimensional. And all that means in my book is that you got to come back another time, hello, and learn to do the balancing act again until you get it right. The good thing about Earth is it's a schoolroom that you can come as many times to get it right. But you know, after a while, I hate repeating the same grade time after time, so I'd like to move on. So part of that is that I am learning more and more to balance. And when we are emotionally upset, and this is something we tend to forget, when we are so deeply grieving, we depress our immune system tremendously. This is where we can become so stressed within by our grief and our sorrow that we can push ourselves into diabetes. We can push ourselves into heart attacks or stroke. We can push ourselves into having an immune system that will not defend us against the common cold and flu, and we start picking up everything that comes along the pike. It's sort of like a welcome mat laid out. You know, my defenses are down, the gates are down, y'all come here. And this is not what you want. Good evening, may I help you?
Yes, hi Phyllis.
Hi.
I have some loved ones also that have crossed over.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if anyone's around tonight to come through for me.
Okay. You're feeling somebody right now, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
You're feeling somebody right now, aren't you?
No, not in particular.
You don't? Mm-hmm. Because immediately that you said that, I felt like several people stepped up and said, yoo-hoo.
Oh, yeah. Who's coming through?
I am seeing several people, and they're being rather noisy right now. Hold on a minute. I'm picking up now. Let's see how we don't have much time, and I got one eye on the clock. So let me try and do this. I'm getting a sense of a woman, and also a sense of a much older woman, okay? I don't know if it would be a grandmother figure or an aunt, but I am getting a sense of an older woman. She was more of a homebody than somebody who went out a lot. Were you raised near a farming area or in a farming area?
No, I was not.
Okay, because I was getting a sense of someone who did live in the country at one time. And I simply wondered if you were there. Okay. Was there a friend from high school that you have known that has been lost recently? I just got a sense of something to do with you back in high school.
And he's been lost?
Well, he's not around anymore. Someone from high school.
Yes.
Okay. I was getting a sense of that from someone, male and from high school. I'm going to have to guess at this. I'm not hearing too much. I'm going to have to guess, and I will tell you when it's a guess as opposed to when I'm really hearing something, okay? I'm getting an accident of some sort. Not a car, but a different kind of accident. Is that correct?
No, it's not.
No, okay. Okay, then I was guessing. As I told you, I wasn't getting it too clear, but it was definitely somebody from high school. And illness. It was an illness. I don't want to say AIDS, but I'm getting something around an illness that had to do with a disease of that nature.
Yes, it was AIDS.
Okay. And you prayed for him, didn't you?
Prayed?
Yeah, you had him in your thoughts.
You mean when it happened?
Yeah. You had him in your thoughts.
Well,
in other words, you didn't think unkindly of him, like some people would say he deserved what he got.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. And he wants you to know that he appreciated the thoughts that you had because you were not judgmental towards him.
Right.
Okay, you were not condemning towards him.
Right.
And he felt that. And many people were that way, unfortunately, and were not sympathetic as they could have been. But he wanted to let you know that he did know that, and he appreciated your kind thoughts. Okay? And that things are different than he had thought where he is now. And he wished he could reach people and let them know how much more beautiful it is and how non-judgmental it is on the other side.
Does he come around me?
Yeah, he does from time to time come around you, which is why he's here now. Because he wants you to know he thinks you're a pretty wonderful person, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
And that you basically are a very kind person. And that he does come around because I don't know what it is, but he says he's learning from you. Now, I don't know what that means. He comes because he learns things from you. Now, I don't know whether it's what you do with your life in teaching or what have you, but he likes being around you because of your energy and because he can... sometimes they do, you know, come because there are certain things that they can learn from us or watch us do.
Right.
And that's what he does. And I'm a little surprised. I've never had that before. I guess that's why I'm having a hard time figuring it out. But he said, yes, from time to time he does come around. And he wants to let you know also that he watches over you in that instance. And he also wants us to encourage you to continue on doing the good work you're doing. And he was glad that he knew you. And
thank you so much for that.
He seems to be a very nice person who had promise potential, didn't he? He was gifted in some way, and he had promise and potential in doing things, and he unfortunately, his life didn't pan out the way he thought.
Right. Is there a certain way that he tries to come around, or does he have like anything from our past and memories that we've shared, and anything that he wants to talk about, or?
Not that I'm getting right now. It's just mainly. He just wanted you to... okay, here. He wants you to know that he is he's going to attempt to contact you, okay? He wants you to be aware that when you feel him around, you know, just sort of say yes, acknowledge that he's around, okay? And he's going to try and communicate with you directly that way. But he needs you to know that it's not just your imagination or that you're, or brushing off, that he's really trying to reach out to you.
Wonderful.
To talk with you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Dylan.
And just be aware. Just be aware that he is there, okay? And he does, and I think he's, is what you're doing something he would have been interested in? Because he said he would like to help you with some thoughts from time to time. Some inspiration.
Some inspiration?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give you some insights into whatever it is you're doing.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, he said he would like to come along that way, but he doesn't want to scare you. And he doesn't want you to think you're crazy and just brush it off when he comes to mind. He said, just tell her to, when I come to mind, just tell her just to relax, okay? And just talk to me and ask me what it is I'm going to impart, because I will talk with her and provide her some inspiration and see if I can't be of assistance to her in whatever it is you're doing. And I don't know what it is, but he said he would like to participate, because this is one way that he can do something and continuing on what he started on this earth plane.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is one way he can do it, is by assisting you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it makes sense to you, because it sure doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But then that's not my message.
Well, he was a very dear friend.
Oh, he was. Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah. He's saying that. Yeah. He's nodding and he's smiling. And he says, good, then look for him to pop around soon sometime, and know that when he does, he's going to try and make you some inspiration, some thoughts that he'll kind of whisper in your ear. He's saying sweet nothings, right?
Oh, well, I will look forward to that.
Okay. God bless you. And I didn't get your name, dear.
My name is Susan.
Okay, Susan, I'm so glad you called, and I'm so delighted that you came on and wanted to share with us, because apparently he's saying he's been trying to get your attention for a while, and if you had pigtails, he'd try and pull them. But, but you don't, so he can't do that. But he will get in touch with you, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. Good night, and I hope you listen next week. We're going to have a great show then, too.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you all for coming on and sharing. I so enjoy when I have an opportunity to talk and interact with you all. And I like sharing with the new things that I learn as well, because I hope I never stop learning and sharing. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful gift. And it's a wonderful gift to be on this show and to have this opportunity to be able to share with you what I have learned. This is part of my heart's desire, is to be in this position. And also, as things grow and progress, I will let you know more and more about what's coming on, and to share and have fun. And the basic thing is, I want you all to just have fun in your life. Remember, we are put here to play and have fun. And being grown-ups can be really dull and really draggy. And it's time to just, you know, sort of let go and have fun and enjoy what you're doing and enjoy life. I would like each and every one of you to grow more and more spiritually and open up more and more to your own innate abilities and gifts, because everybody has these gifts. Everybody has these abilities, and it's like a muscle that you exercise. If you allow yourself to accept the impressions that you get, the ideas, and don't dismiss them as fancy or stuff of nonsense, which at least some of us were taught as we were younger that we couldn't possibly know what we know, because, you know, that isn't normal. But understand, you came with all these gifts. I mean, it's a part of your heart. It's a part of your mind. It's a part of your soul. And I would love to see each and every one of you unfold in grace and beauty with your own abilities, some in music, some in art, some in compassion and healing, some in invention, some in feeding others, in all ways that we serve, in all ways that you do for others. You are growing in grace and beauty every day. And as you do this, your instincts, your abilities, all of these will unfold to be a help to you in everyday living. I know that I've used them in choosing contracts and in writing contracts in the past, and knowing what to keep and what to throw away. These abilities are for us to use each and every day, and I would love for each and every one of you to become gifted in your own right, so you can have happiness in your life and you can make decisions based on your knowledge and your wisdom and understanding. That's what makes sense to me. I know about a year ago I did give about one hour session of gifts of how to develop your own psychic abilities. I'll be more than happy to do that again. So that, you know, if you want to write it down, that's great. And practice developing your own gifts. Well, thank you very much. Our show has come to an end. It's always too short. I always wish that I had more time, but alas, other people have their time too to come on. I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. Thank you so much for coming on. You could reach me at my email at psychicworlds, capital P, capital W, psychicworlds4 at AOL.com. Again, let me say thank you. Have a blessed evening. My prayers to all of you, especially those who are suffering in California. And tune in next week to Miss Lovely Stephanie Stevens. Good night.